for you and look into your word and through you, Lord, see that you have all things in your hands and you're our encouragement and we have nothing to fear. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you. And I pray you just anoint me and I just speak nothing but the words of the Spirit, and you'd open each heart to receive your truth, Lord. And then, Lord, I just pray that we could see with clarity of how you're continuing to work through us, how you're continuing to work in the world today as you always have. And so, Lord, I just pray we'd walk away with a word from you, and we'd walk away with a confidence from you. So we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in 1 Kings. So 1 Kings and 18. We'll start in 1 Kings chapter 18. And so we'll be camping out there. So if you have your Bible, an iPad, iPhone, etc., you know, we'll be in 1 Kings. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 says this. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, last week we're looking at the days of Elijah, okay? And so I mentioned last time, you know, a lot of times I'll see churches say, "This is the days of Elijah." And I just kind of wonder, I said, "Do you really know what that means? Do you know what the days of Elijah are?" And so it convicted me. So I thought, well, let's look at the days of Elijah. We'll see what that is. What is the days of Elijah? And we are seeing this truly is days of Elijah. And last week we looked at 1 Kings, you know, chapter 17, verse 1, and where Elijah went and told Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And so there's chapter 17, so we went over that. Now this morning, we're in chapter 18, verse 1, and God tells Elijah, now go back to Ahab, it's 3 years later, tell him it's going to rain now. So he has to go back to Ahab and say it's going to rain. And so as we continue to look at the days of Elijah and how these truths apply to us today, that they're not just fun stories, these truths apply to us today. And we're going to continue with a powerful truth of Scripture that is really important for us to grasp. And it's God still speaks. He still speaks. And you look, you know, I think some of us may look, or people look at the Old Testament, well, yeah, that's what happened then. Or look back in the New Testament, well, that didn't happen then. And, you know, we're kind of this enlightened age and, you know, it doesn't happen to us. And there's nothing, and I'm going to use the word nothing in the Scripture, that indicates that. Everything in the Scripture indicates everything that happened then applies today. So it's good for us to look at this and say, well, God, what are you telling us today? So that's what we looked at last week. And so last week we covered 6 Elijah lessons, all right? 6 Elijah lessons. So we're going to look this morning and we're going to continue with Elijah lesson number 7. So, and it says this, this is what I feel like the Elijah lesson number 7 is. The more God speaks to us, the greater challenge and the greater the responsibility. And we started last week and we look, well, this is a lesson God still speaks, and we talked about how we can hear from God. That's true. But also, he doesn't like speak to us once and then never speak again. I mean, it's just think about it, like if you told your kids, clean your room, you spoke once. Hey, you're going to speak again. Okay? You'd like to be able to tell them a second time to do something else, but probably you'll say, I said clean your room. Right? But if they clean their room, you can speak again, they'll do something. So God speaks, okay, he speaks to us, and we talked about that, but he's going to speak again. He continues to speak. And the point is that as he speaks to us, as he continues to speak to us, it is to a greater challenge and a greater responsibility. So as we're obedient to what he tells us the first time, he's going to give us more insight. He's going to speak to us more. We'll have more responsibility and greater challenges. And this is what we see. This is what we see with Elijah. And so we're going to see this and look in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. He said, go tell Ahab. Go tell Ahab. It's going to rain again. But look at what he says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. Says this, Elijah told Ahab, this is after it's going to rain, okay, he says, Elijah told Ahab, and again, I pause there, why did God tell Elijah? God told him. Why did Elijah tell Ahab something? God told Elijah tell Ahab something. So this is follow up. Now Elijah told Ahab, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, we kind of forgot about Jezebel, you know. So, Ahab has issues. Okay, he's an evil king. Well, he married a pagan girl, lady. I bet she's a sweet thing. I really do. I just bet she's sweet, okay? And it's Jezebel. And we mentioned her father's name was Ethbaal. You know, like that? Which means Baal is alive. You know, we say Jesus is alive. No, this girl's raised up with Ethbaal. Baal's alive. Baal's alive. So this is who Ahab married, Jezebel. So she comes down to Israel, God's people come to Israel. Well, who does she have with her? It says, Ahab, bring me all the prophets, 950 of them, bring them here, who eat at Jezebel's table. Do you think she has some influence on Ahab? I mean, Ahab's got issues already. But he married her. Now, he's got issues on top of issues with Jezebel, all right? And so here we have this. So when we look at this, God is telling Ahab, you come, I want you to come, and you bring, you know. And again, Ahab's the most evil king Israel had. Then he says his wife is Jezebel, the most evil woman in Scripture. Okay, you see this setting up? And you bring all her prophets with you, 950 of them. I want to meet with them. Now, here's something. Now, here's a lesson to us. Here's a lesson to us. This is what God said. Israel's going to hell in a handbasket, all right? It's going, okay? It's because of Ahab and Jezebel. What's God going to do? You know, we look around, what's God going to do? You know, oh, shucks, you know, what's God? Well, what God did is I'm going to send Elijah. That's what I'm going to do, you know. Won't you strike Ahab down? No, I'm going to send Elijah. Won't you strike Jezebel? No, I'm sending Elijah. See, that's what he's saying. And so what the lesson to us is, we will be called to face our Ahabs and all the accompanying evil that comes with them. We will. God's going to do that with us. Why? Because we are the Elijahs of his time. And so what do Elijahs do? So we just hang out, you know, in the back of the church. We call down fire from heaven, you know. It's great for, you know, barbecue and pork, you know. Says, hey, just be a... No, that's not how it works. You're going to confront Ahab, you know, and all Jezebel's minions. So that's the lesson to us. It's going to happen. When he speaks to us again, this is going to happen. And so we're going to be asked to confront false beliefs. Now, it's very interesting. When we look at last week, we saw God move, and it showed that he provided for Elijah. He provided. It's a very personal. He provided for Elijah. And, you know, and we go through the account. You say, man, this is cool. He's providing for me. Hey, providing a job. He's providing. And that's what he did for Elijah. And then he spoke again. He says, now, call Ahab and the 950 prophets. False prophets. You call them up. Because now I'm going to show you something else. He spoke the first time and provided and encouraged. He spoke the next time and he said, I got a job for you. I got a job for you, and you're going to have to face your Ahab, and you're going to have to face Jezebel's prophets. So he spoke again. What is more responsibility? A greater challenge. See, I provided for you, so you know who I am. Now you're going to stand for me against the false prophets. So What's important you to know this, but what's also helpful to know this, is that we see when we have to face our Ahabs, we see that God is behind it. So we have a confidence when we face our Ahabs. Why? I'm going to wait till you answer me. Why? Because God's behind it. I'm facing Ahab. I'm tough. I'm going one-on-one. But no, I'm going to face my Ahab, and I'm going to have some confidence because I know this is what God set up, and therefore he's behind it. Therefore, he's going to do something. I'm just kind of the messenger. See, it's a messenger. I'm just an avenue. You go talk to Ahab. Okay. But you see what I'm saying? That's where the confidence comes from. That's why we have confidence when we face evil. That's why we have confidence when we face our Ahabs, all right? Because we are enabled to stand before this because we know this is what God said to do. All right, so this leads to Elijah lesson number 8. Elijah lesson number 8, okay? We will be called to speak God's truth, clearly bringing people to a decision. Now, don't you think about this? Because when we're going to face Ahab, what are we going to tell him? You know, hey, how's Jezebel and the kids? You know, it's like, no, that's not what you're going to do. You know, when you're called, you're going to speak God's truth. Now, who are you going to tick off when you speak God's truth? Jezebel and the kids. See, because that's one thing they want. And Ahab, you're not going to make him happy either. So when you speak, we're going to be called to speak God's truth. And we're going to speak God's truth. And you know how we know we've spoken God's truth? It'll bring people to a point of decision. If we don't speak God's truth, you know, we can still have coffee from here until doomsday. You know, they'll come and have their hat. But if we're speaking God's truth, it's going to force them into a decision. To a decision. And people will say, well, I shared the gospel and they just left. I just did something wrong. No, you forced them into a decision and they left. And who they left was God. See, that's the thing. We understand what we're the avenue we carry the message. We speak the truth. He didn't tell it. We're not responsible for the response. See, if we get that, okay, I'm going to speak the truth. Son of a gun. They never want to see me again. Okay? I think, who did they reject? They rejected God. See, it's like, well, God is going like, you speak to Jezebel, Jezebel leaves. He's like, God, shucks, I just said something wrong. No, she left. You know, hallelujah. Praise Greyhound that she's gone. That's Greyhound bus, by the way. Is it? Praise Greyhound. And God, she's gone. But what did you do? You spoke the truth. You see what I'm saying? But if you speak the truth, that's something that stirs me. What do you mean? What do you mean? How's that worked? What do you mean? And you can, well, you're forcing a decision. See? And the church is supposed to speak the truth, and it forces a decision. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why, and that's what this is. And so this is what this Elijah lesson number 8. You speak the truth, but it brings people to a point of decision. And I want to tell you something. This is going to sound terribly convicting. If you don't bring people to a point of decision, you're not speaking the truth. You're not. Because the truth will bring them to a point. They stay or they go. I mean, I just want to wishy-washy and so I can have dinner with these guys until Jesus comes back. Okay. They'll never hear the truth and they'll never make a decision. You see what I'm saying? So we just need to realize this is Elijah lesson number 8. You have to speak the truth. And in 1 Kings 18:21, it says this. 1 Kings 18:21. And so you got all these prophets are here, 950 of them. All of Israel's gathered around to watch. And Elijah goes. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, and this is important, how long will you waver between two opinions? Now, this is important to know. You had all this false worship, but they worshiped Jehovah's too. You know, that gave him head fake, and you know, he's there, you know, we could give him a couple of sacrifices there. So they're mixing all this stuff together. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." That's truth. This is what I believe. Fine. If that's your God, follow him. God is my God, I follow him. And it's a decision. And again, do what you want to do. Don't waver between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, you follow him. And so when you look at this, our message in these days of Elijah, our message to professing Christians, "Oh, I love Jesus, and I'm going to hang out with Jesus people." Okay. You know, and this, there's no Jesus and. There's no Jesus and, by the way. And Jesus said there's no Jesus and. There's just Jesus. No, no one will come to the Father except by me. And who else? No, I see. And so this is, so here's what's coming out here. And so we see that this is our message. Pick one and follow one. Pick one and follow one. I think the story came to mind when I was in high school, I played football, and I was like a sophomore or something, but there was a kid, and he was a real good running back. He was really, really good, but he was really, really kind of crazy and just caused a lot of trouble. I mean, that was before me. I really liked him a lot. He was a lot of fun, you know. But the coach called him in. I was there, you know. He says, "Listen, I'm going to tell you to do something." And he told him how good he was. And he says, "Now you're hanging around with these bunch of guys right here." And he says, "They don't go together. And I want you to do something. Pick one. Pick one." "Either one. I don't care. You pick them. You be the best outlaw among them. Or you be the best player we got. You can't be both. But you pick one. And that's all in. So we're going to have practices. And if you show up, I'll know which one you picked. If you don't show up, I'll also know which one you picked." And that's what God's saying. Pick one. Pick. And we as his ministers, we don't have to say, "You know, pick one. You know, pick one. It's your choice. You pick one." And so make a decision. Either a decision, but just make a decision. But we know that either decision will have a day of reckoning. Will have a day. I mean, that can be part of the testimony. Pick one, but your decision will have a day of reckoning. It's like it says in Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You know, I always think, "Pitt, why? I don't like the Old Testament. I like the New Testament. It's too rough in the Old Testament. It's more love in the New Testament." This verse is in the New Testament. Okay. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I just let you know. But pick one. You do what you want to. But so when we speak truth, and it calls people to a point of decision. You know, and if it doesn't, and I'm just telling you, if it doesn't, you're not speaking the truth. Because the truth does that. Does that. Now, that leads us to Elijah lesson. Number 9, Elijah lesson number 9. We proclaim God's truth that has power, and then we watch. Now, this is important. It is really important. I mean, it's important for me as I think about it, but we proclaim God's truth, and then we grab them around the neck, you know, and give them a sucker punch and obey. You know, or do this, or do, no, that's not our job. What our job is to proclaim the truth, all right, that has power. See, the truth of God has power. Amen? It has power. So the truth of God has power. So we just proclaim the truth that has power, then we watch. We watch. And you know, it says the God who answers by fire is God. See? True. Our job is to proclaim the truth. The Bible's clear. And then we watch. And the God who answers by fire. He is God. He is God. Amen? 1 Kings 18, 23 through 24. Elijah said, let two bulls, he's talking to these prophets and all the people of Israel watching, let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose, let the false prophets choose first. Let them choose one bull to sacrifice and lay it on the wood. Don't put any fire under it. Just put this, the meat of this bull on the wood. Don't put any fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and I will lay it on the wood. And I'll put no fire under mine either, even here. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. Now see, that's what God's telling us to do. You speak the truth. You watch. You watch. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Now, what's interesting, and we look at this, the Old Testament and the New Testament proclaims God is a God of power which flows through us on behalf of those who love God and trust Him. Old Testament and New Testament proclaim God is a God of power that flows through His people. It's just it. Well, in the New Testament, oh, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that. 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Listen, to live a powerless life is not the Christian life. It is not. I'll bring Jesus into my life and I will live the worst life ever. It's terrible. No happiness. No, I can't. Nothing goes my way, and you know, my belly ache. Gosh, this sounds what I usually do. But that's all right. It's no. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but in power. That's the New Testament. No, it's not. Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, he said it's not talk. I mean, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He can talk, you know. It's not talk. It's power. The kingdom of God is not a bunch of talk. It's power. And so what we do, we see when it says we proclaim God's truth because we know it's powerful. And therefore we watch because it's our relationship with God. Because we know in whom we believe and that God moves. Amen? Amen. So, now this comes up to Elijah lesson number 10. Elijah lesson number 10. And this is all tied together. There's a flow. You see this as it unflows here. And this is exactly what Elijah is doing. Exactly. Now, I repeat myself. Why is Elijah doing it? Why is Elijah doing this? God told him to. God told him to. You know, he didn't say, hey, you know, guy hanging out with Elijah, whoever's hanging out with him. You really have to think twice to hang out with him. But if you're hanging out with him, listen, this would be neat. Why don't we just call all the prophets up, Jezebel, you know, and we'll just have a big show. We'll see what God does. You know, I've tried that a couple of times, and usually God doesn't do nothing. You know, in fact, he never does do anything when I do that. But when he tells you to do something, then you do it. Because it's like, he's going to make this happen, and all I do is be obedient to what he says. And I just watch. Watch, okay? So, Elijah lesson number 10. Truth will expose false beliefs. See, that's what happens. Truth exposes false belief. It exposes their lack of power, and it exposes their lack of eternal fruit. You know, it's kind of like they proclaim, the proof is in the pudding. It goes back to what we said before. He won't do it, do it. Proof's pudding. And we proclaim, and why do we proclaim what we say? It's because we know what God does to us. Now, and we have some little history like he has provided for us. So we got a little hint that he will work. Now he's taking us this. It's like, good God. We'll proclaim the truth, and truth will expose false beliefs. I have, this is just funny, I'll share it with, and God, it's the truth, so I share it with the truth. I don't mean to be judgmental or anything. And I have some people I know, they're Mormon friends, okay? And nice people. I mean, it's like, great. You know, I remember I had these Mormon friends, and I wish Christians would be as nice as them. Man, they're nice, you know? And that, any of the ones I knew were really nice, you know? And so, you know, they're fun to talk to. They're immersed and live on false beliefs. They don't have salvation through Christ. They're totally work-focused, but they're nice. I mean, they're nice because they got to be. I mean, if they're not nice, they're not going to make it. So they're nice. Like us, we don't got to be nice. So, you know, we just trust Jesus and just be butts half the time. You know, it's like, no, he tells you, don't do that. But so what happened, I was at home, and so, and like I said, truth will expose false beliefs and stuff. And so I'm in a hurry. I think I've told you this, but I'm in a hurry. And somebody knocks on the door. I said, I don't have time for this. Open it. Nicest guy you ever want to meet with. Other nice guy, you know, dressed. You know, hello, how are you doing? I said, fine. And he said, I just want to know. And this, I just want to share Christ. And I just want to know. You want to hear the love of Christ. Listen, I said, I'm a pastor and stuff, and I don't have time for this, and we just have some really differences like that. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, isn't that wonderful to talk to? Isn't that he's a pastor? Oh, you always know you love Jesus. And I said, yeah, but I said, we got some different, and I don't have time to talk. We have some different beliefs. He said, no, we believe the same thing. Now, no, we don't. No, we don't. Just share something. Share something. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's okay. I'm in a hurry. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe that. I'm like, no, you don't. And I said, I believe Jesus is God. Oh, I believe that. This kid's so nice, he's making me sick. It's just so nice. And I said, okay, I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's God. Well, I know the Mormon doctrine. They don't believe that. You know, I don't know if they lied to this kid or what. But anyway, they don't believe that. And so finally, third thing, I said, listen. I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, God, eternally exists. He's eternally past, eternally in the future. He was not created. He is eternal God like God the Father. He goes, I don't believe that. I said, I told you, you know. It's like, good grief. I said, that's the breaks back right there. That explains it. Well, would you? And he did. The guy said, well, would you like us to do it? Would you like us to mow your lawn? I almost, yeah, go ahead. But it was like it needed a mow. But it's like, no. I said, that's done. We're finished. And then he goes, well, do you know anybody else around here like to know about Jesus? I go, no. Anyway, so, but the point of it is, the truth exposes false beliefs. But you see what they did? I believe the Son, Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that too. Well, they redefined it. I knew they didn't, but so they redefined it where they could say that. I said, well, he believes he is God. Well, I do too. Well, he believes he's a created God by God. He's a created God. And it's like, no, he eternally exists. He wasn't created. That's the truth. And it finally exposed the lie. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's what happened. So lesson 10, truth will expose false beliefs. It's not, truth doesn't just speak something so everybody can agree on it and, you know, and you believe what you want to. No, there's a truth that we depend on, and there's a power in the truth that we depend on. So truth will expose false beliefs. Look at 1 Kings 18, chapter 18, 25 through 26. So Elijah lets the false prophets go first. Yeah, it's nice to be polite. You can go first. And it says this, then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God. See, he gave him a shot. Call upon the name of your God. But don't put any fire under the wood. Don't have any fire around the sacrifice. Don't put any fire on the wood. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and they called upon the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, Baal, answer us. But there was no response. No one answered. Then they danced around the altar that they had made, but there was no response, and no one answered. See, sometimes when you witness these people, you got to give them time to let them dance around the altar. You know, let them dance around the altar. You know what, those sweet Mormon boys? I just let them dance around the altar. So listen, this is, you know, they had to dance around the altar for sure. But anyway, so you understand that sometimes with false prophets and stuff, you have to let them dance around the altar. Now listen to this. Now this is really important, I think. There is a fanaticism. There is a fanaticism to false belief systems because their God has no power and doesn't answer. They have to be fanatical because their God doesn't answer. See, why are they fanatics? Because their God didn't have any power. He didn't have any power. So no matter how intense their commitment, they will receive no response and see no answers. Therefore, people must carry out their false belief system by fanatical human power, because there's no God power. So the people have to carry their fanaticism with their human power because there's no power from God. That's the reason you have religious fanatics. They don't have a powerful God. So they have to do things to appear powerful, to make their God appear powerful. And the more fanatical they are, they think in their God, their commitment, they're trying to think that they show their God is more powerful. But their fanaticism is showing their God does not have any power whatsoever. You see what I'm saying? Doesn't that explain a lot? I mean, I got to go somewhere, wrap something around me, and go blow something up. God is powerful. You know, okay. Now, so what you have truth, we understand what's going on. See, because we have the truth, and we understand it's powerful. Now, in reality, their false beliefs are so foolish, they honestly deserve ridicule. Now, what we have here is Elijah's sarcasm exposes the powerlessness of the false belief system. Now, this is what Elijah said to these prophets dancing around the aisle. Let me hear. 1 Kings 18:27. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry louder, he's a god. And he goes, either he is deep in thought, or he's gone to the bathroom. Or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep. He needs to be wakened. I mean, these guys are getting it. They're dancing around this altar, you know. He's like, go to it, man. You know? He said, maybe louder. A little louder. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep. You see what I'm saying? But what the point of it is, you look at this, at the confidence with Elijah, I know who I'm going to believe. I know who God is. These guys don't. Now, his point, probably for us, maybe, it's probably not useful to make fun of people. Okay, it's probably not useful. But however, we need to have a confidence that these false beliefs are from the pit of hell. And that we have a confidence, and we don't have to be worried about them. Okay, their God's not going to do nothing. Now, they may go a little wacky, because they have to prove by human effort that their God's something. But we won't be afraid of what they believe in. Because what they believe in will not respond, it will not answer. Needs their people to do something crazy that you can't have any insight into what their God is. Explains fanaticism. There's no power in their God. Now, here's something else, and I know this blows many people's mind, but surprisingly, many people committed to false beliefs are incapable of seeing the truth. It's totally incapable of seeing the truth. And we see it all through Scripture. We see it around us. And not only are they incapable of seeing the truth, when they're approached with the truth, they will even go deeper into their darkness. The more you tell them, the worse they get. I mean, again, it's an indication what's going on. But they hear the truth, they go deeper into darkness. They get worse. Look at this, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28 through 29. You know, Elijah goes, shout louder. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. You know, maybe he's asleep. You know, 1 Kings 18, 28 through 29. And they crowd louder. I mean, it's picked up on Elijah's head. So they did. They cried louder. And they cut themselves after the custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. You see what's happening here? So, we stand strong knowing that no matter how much they rave to their false gods, no one will answer and no one will pay attention. We know this. We know this. Now, here's the thing, it's important to speak to us. And it's Elijah lesson number 11. Elijah lesson number 11. We will be required to set things straight. I mean, let them go. Hey, cry out louder. Dance around the fire. They're cutting yourselves with lances. All right, you know, go. Go for it. But that one, so when they give it their best shot, we calmly speak the truth. We calmly speak. We don't have to dance around the fire. We calmly speak the truth. We will be required to set things straight. We speak the truth. Now look at 1 Kings 18, verse 30 through 35. Then Elijah said, we say, then Elijah said, I mean, these guys are give out. I mean, they're cut to pieces and blood running all over the place. And I mean, he goes, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. Come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he, Elijah, repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. I think there's a lot hidden in there. He repaired the altar of the Lord who had been thrown down and built up the things of God had been neglected. And he built that altar back up. That's a picture. He took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the son of Jacob. Again, he's tying all back to God, back into the covenant. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 24 pounds of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid the wood on the bull. Then he said, fill four jars with water and pour it on the wood. I mean, this would be tough to start a fire here. Put four jars of water, pour it on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. And he did it a third time. And the water ran down the altar and filled the ditch built around the place of sacrifice. See, and the thing what we have to realize, we have to set things straight. There will come a time when all we will believe will be tested. It's going to be tested. And after the raving of the false prophets, the truth must be spoken. And then what we do is we repair the things of the Lord. We repair the altar of the Lord who's been thrown down. We're standing on the truth that God has shown us. And listen, we do not rely on the physical realm or the physical elements. Process that. Process that. We do not rely on the physical realm or the physical elements. Put it up there, no fire. Drench that thing in water. Well, man, that thing, you can never lie to drenching water. Drenching in water. Had nothing to do with what God's going to do. See what I'm saying? Drench it with water. What's that? Confidence there. We can pour water on the wood because our power comes from God alone, and we call on God and depend on His Word alone. I don't care what you do with water. Wood. It doesn't make any difference. Drench it in water. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And then in 1 Kings 18:36 through 37, it says this. And at the time of the sacrifice, Elijah the prophet stepped forward and said, okay, he got this pile of wood, got this bull cut up on it, soaking, wet, water's running in the ditch. At that time of the sacrifice, Elijah the prophet stepped forward and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. Now, do you see how he started the prayer here in front of him? Let it be known today that you're... When we step up and we're having a conversation with somebody, it's like whatever they believe, you know, our prayer is, God, let it be known that you are God. That's a good way to start a prayer, I think. Let it be known that you are God and that I am your servant. Now, what does that mean? I'm on this stinking mountain because you told me to. You know, this wouldn't have been my first choice. See, I am a servant. Let it be known that you are God. I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Come on, folks. I've done all these things. How powerful was Elijah? What's James 5:17 says? Elijah's been just like us. See? Let them know, Lord, that I've done all these things at your word. You told me to. You told me to do this. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you are Lord, O God. If you don't show them something, God, they're never going to believe. And that's my prayer. You show them. I speak the truth. I stand on the truth. And I call upon you. And it is you who will reveal yourself. It is you who will answer that they will know that you are God. Because of what God does. Now, here's the important thing in this. This is not about us. I don't want to share. They won't like me anymore. You know, it's like that. I'd rather just eat, have coffee with them and watch them go to hell. But I don't want them to not like me. You know, it's not about us. It's not about us. Okay, which leads to the last, for this morning, Elijah lesson number 12. It's not about us. Elijah lesson number 12. Listen. We proclaim that God is His own witness. We don't have to be fanatical. Cut ourselves and run around a pile of wood. You know, we fill this thing water. You know, we don't need it. We don't have to be here. We don't have to be here. And so with that, we know that God is His own witness. That God is His own witness. And so that's what we want to know, that we're standing to God and He is His own witness. Now, what the Bible says as we read on through this, it says that the fire fell, burned up the wood, burned up the sacrifice, burned up the stones of the sacrifice, and licked up all the water in the ditch. See, that's an Elijah. Elijah. God is His own witness. Okay. Fire will fall. Why? And pause. I want you to tell me. Why will fire fall? Because He told us it'd fall. See, we'll go in the back. Hey, let's gather in the back. We'll all hold hands and we'll pray. We're two or three together to do a thing in your name. God, bring fire down. He goes, chase, you know, what a waste of time with this bunch of people. You know, it's like, no. But when he tells you, you call fire down. It's like, oh my God. And you call fire down. And it falls. Why? Because he told you to call it down. Do you understand a piece of the Christian life? You understand? And this is what God's saying. God is his own witness. What it reveals to us, we don't reveal God by human effort. We do not reveal God by human effort. And I'm going to say something, and this is something that will come by and bite me, but I'm going to say it. You hear like Christianity, it's like, well, just show God by your goodness. You show it by your goodness. And you'll see the power of God by your goodness. That's not what the Bible says. By the way, that's what the Mormons believe. Show God by your goodness. Show God by your... And they're going to do a good job. I mean, if we had some Mormons in here, I think I might make them elders. Man, they're good people. I mean, they're good. You know? I just think, man, they're really good. Yeah. But that's not what it says. It's not what it says. God reveals himself. When he tells us to do something and we obey, then he does things. And so we're proclaiming the power, and then we're watching. We're watching. He is his own witness. We do not reveal God by human effort. God reveals himself when we are obedient to him. God says to his believers, to his church, now is the day of Elijah, and you are my Elijahs. If you'll do what I say, and I tell you to drop fire down, and you speak it, fire will come. But if I tell you to do something else, and you do it, and you say it will come and do it. Don't be like the false prophets and be fanatical and make up stuff to show that God is something you perceive. Because God will not respond to your self-efforts. He responds what he tells us to do, and we are obedient. 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 And so what we have is that we know that God is his own witness. I mean, isn't that important? We don't have to take ourselves too seriously. Oh, I got to do this. No, you might do. Listen to God and do what he says, and just watch. Just watch. Hear him and do it, and then just watch, because he's his own witness. Now, some of us might say, and with good reason, and we'll wrap it up with this. Well, gosh, I don't know. I think I heard God, and I think he prompted me. I think this. I don't know how to hear from God, and we talked about that last week, you know. But I don't know how to proceed. Let me help here a little bit. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins, paid for the penalty of your sins, and you have trusted him, if you believe that, you have heard God. Are your faith a fraud? Did you just make that up? Somebody talk you into it? Won't last. But if your heart is committed to the Lord because you know he's paid the penalty for your sins and you love him, he has spoken to you. You don't believe that. He's spoken to you. Go back to the first time he spoke that to you, and he will speak again and tell you something else. He'll tell you. You see what I'm saying? This is not unusual. He will speak to you. And say, well, gosh, I believe that, but I just don't know that much. What do I say? Say what you know. Start with this one. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe this, and you can start with this. And look at 1 Timothy 1:15. Start here. And once you say this truth, God will speak to you again and tell you other truths. Amen? So let's start with this one. 1 Timothy 1:15. This truth is trustworthy. Okay, hey, we're good. Are we good? All right here. We are good. Because this truth is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance. How much better can you get to speak something? This truth is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's what you say. And that opens up everything. Somebody said, well, I'm not that bad. Then you don't understand Christ. Don't come and tell me you're not that bad, because I'm going to tell you you don't understand Christ. And then we're going to have tension, and we'll both have to go to counseling. I mean, it's going to be terrible. No, you go in there. This is the truth. This is the truth. And when you stand before Jesus, it's like, oh my God, the only way I have hope is through what Christ has done. He said, well, I ain't that bad. You don't get it. You flat don't get it. This truth is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm at worst. And you talk to somebody, well, what about you? I'm the worst. I know what I've done. God knows I'm the worst. That's how you open the conversation. And that's what he told me. And we spoke in God's truth. And all of a sudden, they have to make a decision because of your testimony. And so you say, you speak the truth, and you just watch. You know, God was answer and fire. You just watch. Amen? Now, isn't this exciting? Oh, Elijah, the days of Elijah. And look, we look at the world going around us. You think God's upset. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Shucks. That's awful. He's talking to Gabriel. I don't know what. I didn't see this coming. These folks, they're all upset. What are we going to do? I knew this coming the whole time, and I caught my people. And man, I got a mess of them in Broadlands Community Church. Man, they're on fire. Oh, man, well, I just need a few. They're on fire because they're going to speak and watch me work. See? He's happy with this stuff, so we ought to be happy with his happiness. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Don't be afraid. There's no fear in trusting Christ. In God, there is no fear. And so we have a confidence because, man, God, you're doing something. We just want to hear and get in the step. We just want to hear and get in the step. And we're going to watch. We're going to watch because he is moving in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm excited talking about it. Now, so we have confidence. Stand in the truth. God is his own witness. Amen? Isn't that good? Here's the truth. God is, we're going to watch. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know, we sang the song this morning, you're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. And we know that you truly are a good, good Father. And so, Lord, when we read and study your word, we know that you speak to us. And we know that you are put us everywhere we are. This is a divine appointment. Wherever we are, it's a divine appointment. And that, Lord, all we have to do is listen to you and speak your truth. And the biggest truth we have is that you died for us and we are forgiven. That's it. You can't top that. You can't top that. And so that's the truth we have. So that's where we start. That's what we say first. And we say that first. He said, you know, I can tell these folks some more things because they said the first thing, that I saved them. And if it wasn't for me, they'd be bound for eternity in hell. So they're going to share, Jesus, save me. And then when they share that, I'll speak more. And I'll speak more. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.